Jason sharing. And I don't know what parable you're doing, so that's all on you. So come on up.
All right. Yes, it's the one and only, Jason. So it's the parable of the unmerciful servant, is what it's called in the Bible. Glad you're all here today. It's exciting to go and share God's heart. And man, the first thing that like came to me on this, like just today, I was thinking about it, and capability, and just thinking about my relationship with my father and how I think, I was like, what exactly, why did I resent him so much? He wasn't that bad. And I'm like, oh, I felt like I wasn't capable of doing anything good or well. And being able to go and like even something like this is, I think, 6 or 8 years ago, unthinkable. So when people like share with me about how they feel when it comes to public speaking and sharing their heart, I'm always like, yeah, you're capable of doing it too. Definitely. Greater things than this, he said. So let me go and start with, although I am teaching on Matthew 18, I did really, as I was studying, really feel like it's necessary to give context. And I think context, because the word is unified from the Old Testament to the New, that I would mention Hosea 6:6. I'm just going to read it real quick for you right here. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." And speaking on this topic, I was like, I don't know if I understand or know the actual definition of mercy. So I looked it up, like any logophile who loves words so much like I do would. And the definition of mercy is compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. Compassion, pity, or benevolence. Have mercy on the poor sinner. That's in dictionary.com. So I'm going to go in with that in mind, open this in a word of prayer. So, Father God, we come to you tonight. We thank you so much that you are one who does richly show mercy. And, Lord, that we can continue to grow and learn about you deep into our years as we continue to grow toward you, continue to seek your face. Lord, I just pray that you would just guide my thoughts and, Lord, this evening, our fellowship. And, Lord, that you would be one who does speak to our hearts, that it's more than just a one evening or one idea or one passage, Lord, that these parables that you taught would be revealed to be your heart for us for all time, all eternity, and that as we walk out faith before you with humility and with mercy and with love, Lord, we would continue to go back and go back and go back and draw deeper understanding, deeper knowledge, and grow in greater degrees in all these areas, these things that you call us to in our walk of faith. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, going forward, so with that idea of capability just kind of tucked away, I want to go and just read the verse. If you could bring it up for me, Alicia. So I'm reading from the New International because that's the only Bible that I have that's big enough to, for me to read well from the pulpit. So it might not match the translation they have up there, but have mercy. So let's see, the starting in verse 21, 18:21, Matthew 18:21, if you have your Bible, I want to read along too. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Some translations say 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, some say 10,000 denarii, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, about $20 worth in our modern money. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So just going over the verses, there's a couple things I guess the commentators said that stood out to me that I really like and were new to me, so I'm going to share. When Peter came to the Lord and said, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. It was interesting to note that in the time and place that they were, the teachers of the law were teaching that you forgive up to 3 times, but not 4. And so the idea that Peter was putting forth was kind of radical. Like, I mean, Jesus, certainly 7 times, more than twice what they're teaching us to forgive is sufficient before I don't have to forgive anymore. And it's the charity that I think Peter was thinking in, even though it was greater, was less than really what we're called to, what he's called to, and the reason for Jesus' response. The interesting part about that also was that in the way Peter was thinking about things, approaching idea was, they said, the commentators, that he was being made fun of because of what he said, basically being a big mouth, and that it's possible that the other 12 were giving him a hard time because of things he said that were prideful or, you know, arrogant, and so he was kind of looking for a loophole to, you know, kind of give it to his brothers in Christ, the other disciples. And Jesus, of course, you know, knowing his heart, you know, went into that. I think it's significant, too, that this is not the first time Jesus talks about forgiveness or mercy either, because he says, go and see, you know, what this means, and quotes Hosea 6:6 back in chapter 9. And so it's kind of like a reminder, hey, you know, Peter, I love your heart, but we've went over this before. Let me go and really, you know, explain this. And it's interesting, too, that he doesn't really, there's no explanation for this one either. This is one of the parables that are not explained, and one of the longer parables, too. I think it might be the longest parable in as far as chapters go. Moving on from there, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. So amount that they were describing there, and I had to go into that, was more than I actually thought it was, to be honest. When I originally heard this, I thought, you know, $10,000, it must be like, you know, $10,000 is a lot of money, but, you know, it's repayable. It's a possibility to get out from behind that. But what the commentators actually stated is that 10,000 shekels of gold was actually greater than the entire national debt of Israel. To think of, like, the amount Israel took in annually to be able to pay for everything in the nation, all of Judea, all of Israel, you know, all of the surrounding country that they were responsible for was around 8,000. So it's greater than an entire nation would require to go and pay for what they needed, this single man owed. So the commentators go on and say that his response to it then was an expression of his delusion at how much was actually owed to him. And this being the servant fell on his knees before him and be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. And so in such way, the master's response was not to give him a hard time about it, or even to maybe explain to him, I'm sorry, do you really expect to be able to give back or pay back what you owe? His response was mercy, and without any explanation for the mercy that he was giving. Just how often do we, when we are given the opportunity, and I put it opportunity because it really is an opportunity to give back to those who, or to show mercy to those who have wronged us or who owe us something. Do we want to really explain it to them? Do we want to really hammer it home exactly what you're doing for them, really what you're giving back to them, what you're really showing? How often are our hearts not inclined to show mercy or grace without explanation? Because so to go and overlook it's a blessing to overlook a wrong. And I think when you say, like, it's a blessing to overlook, is to go and not even pay attention to the thing you're doing. Let your left hand not know what your right hand's doing, is to give charitably. And when they use the word charity, the word mercy in Hosea, it actually, the true way of going and expressing mercy is the expression of charity. And the definition of charity, to go even deeper, is to go and express to mankind the heart of God that he's shown to you. So I think when we have trouble going and expressing the heart, it's because we don't know what God's shown to us. Our understanding is still limited. So continuing. And when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, which by the commentators state that it's about $20 worth of money. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient to me and I will pay it back. Understanding, of course, that $20 is something which is very reasonable, able to be paid back. Also significant that the response was nearly identical to his response to the king. The interesting part that stood out was that the word for fell on his knees was when the unmerciful servant did so, it was a worship to the king. And when his fellow servant responded, it was just a getting on his knees to ask for mercy. And the recognition of who was going and he was begging for mercy from, but not having an understanding of the not having a recognition or understanding of what he was being, what he was asking to basically repay, is still kind of mystifying to me, that he knew who he was asking, but not truly how much was actually owed, the greatness of his debt to the king. It's also worth noting, and I meant to mention it earlier, that the amount he owed, and it never occurred to me when I heard that, read this before, so I'm really glad to be teaching on this, the amount he owed was more than any common person would ever owe to someone. That his position had to be greater to be able to ever rack up a debt of 10,000, shekels of gold. So it opens up a new dimension to this parable, because that means that these individuals are princes or rulers that are basically going and coming to the king in relation with him, know him, able to go and even feel like they have the capability of going and not only going and borrowing money, but also going and asking for mercy. Most of the time, when you understand the ancient relationship of kings and subjects, subjects didn't have a say in a proceeding. They didn't have any way of going and, you can't ask for mercy from the king, especially when you owe that much money. There's only one, response to that if you can't pay. And so it says something of the king and his relationship to him. So after his fellow servant fell down on his knees, he didn't see him the same way he was seen by the king. His response and his vision was unclear. He didn't remember back to the place he very recently was. And instead, as the parable goes, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Something, it's worth noting that we are examples, we're seen, that we are not just ones who, things are done and it's done in a vacuum. Everything we do is done with a ripple effect. There is a consequence and also a blessing. So just thinking, even on just on the way here and while I was studying this, that we should really be grateful for those individuals that in our life are difficult to forgive, because they give us the opportunity to see others the way Jesus has seen and does see us. As difficult as that might be at times. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" Going and basically the king then was going and trying to bring his awareness to what actually had happened, what had transpired. And I note too, because of that relationship, so we've established that they had a relationship where he could beg for mercy and ask for the debt to be forgiven. Yet there was no response from that servant in that moment. And I can only think that as much as he knew who the king was as in authority, he didn't know who he was as in the depth of mercy that he had. He didn't understand what mercy really looked like, or what that was, the possibility of receiving mercy, even at the last moment, going up to that point, even being when he was brought before him. There was no point of recognition or contrition on his part. And I always struggle with the part where he says, "In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." To think that someone would be like that. But after really studying this, I think that he didn't want a relationship with a king that was mutual, that really did require of him to be like the king. He wanted a relationship where he would benefit from what the king offered and gave without any need for him to be like him, to show the things that the king showed. The commentary here, there's a specific commentary, I think, that I want to read as a quote from that I thought was really good. See if I can go and find the particular part. I can't actually, it's farther down. But basically he said that it wasn't someone who was in need of mercy. It was someone who already had received mercy and yet wouldn't offer it himself when the time came to offer it. Also, I would say the last part, till the debt is repaid, that was in the commentary, they mentioned that in the, I guess, colloquialism of it, the language of it, it means that basically until iron would float, until basically there's no ending of that. It's not a literal expression, but basically the impossible, until pigs fly would be the modern expression of that. So there's a testimony I wanted to share. Actually, just thinking about this particular parable, there's many testimonies that come to mind. I think much of my life has been a testimony of the tension between grace and mercy. But there's a particular one that I felt like it was appropriate. Just now, fixing your mind, I guess, the idea of mercy and of grace in this parable. I'm going to share a little one about my father. There was a time about 18 years ago now where my father and I weren't on such great terms, to put it bluntly. And my parents had just got divorced, and I was working through what was, I guess, happening in my life. And my father had been sending letters to our family and to us individually. And there was this one point that, you know, I've been really looking into and trying to understand mercy and, like, really understanding what that meant, thinking about it. Corrie Ten Boom, if you've read or heard anything from her, I had just listened to her testimony about forgiveness. And if you haven't heard it, please, please, by all means, just want to plug that. Amazing testimony. So I'm contemplating these things in my heart, and I receive this letter from my father where he, in so many words, says that he's sorry. And if anyone, I don't know, you guys have dads that may or may not have a great time or ability to really say they're sorry or to ask for mercy. And I had this really extreme emotional response to it that I had no expectation of or really capability of handling. And I remember specifically, like, getting, like, in the shower and getting ready for something, and I'm talking to God while I'm in there and crying. And God reminded me of something that someone said before many years ago that I had ignored. They said, you have to go and forgive your father. And I am like, God, I forgave him. And he's like, now, Jason, you have to love him too. And I said, no. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. He needs to go and be the one to love me, to say that he loves me. Because, you know, dads are really not that great at that usually either, at least in my experience. My father was not very good at that either. But God said, no, Jason, you need to be the one to do it, because if you want to see the things that your father was meant to see in his life but missed out on, you have to be the one to be bigger than that. And so I negotiated with God, I said, okay, well, I'll do it, but only if he's willing to come down. He lived in South Carolina, was pretty, you know, selfish at the time, honestly, not really wanting to travel. The idea of my dad coming to see me was pretty unthinkable. I said, okay, well, if he's willing to come down to see me. And, like, I felt the burden lift me. It was, like, from me. I was like, oh, okay. God just, like, kind of nods and walks away. I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be easy. I'm going to call him up. He's going to say no. It's easy. So I call him up, and I'm saying, you know, hey, Dad, how's it going? And I'm like, Dad, so I'm just thinking maybe we should meet up, like, sometime and talk. And he's like, yeah, when do you want to do that? I'm like, next week, Wednesday. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, let's meet. Where do you want to meet? I'll send you the details. I don't know. Like, I hadn't even planned that far ahead. So I kept it together. Like, he didn't know the conversation I had. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go there. I'm like, okay, so what do you, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And he's like, Jason, just tell him you forgive him. Tell him you forgive him. And I'm like, okay. So I show up. How hard can it be, you know? Tell your dad you forgive him. It's not that hard. And when I'm pulling into the parking lot, I remember specifically God going and saying, yeah, Jason, just make sure you don't react to how he reacts to you. You know, you saying that to him. And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. I understand. Kind of like just wanting to get it over with in my head, just wanting to get it over with to say, be obedient. And so I go into the restaurant, I sit down, we have some small talk, and I just look, you know, finally look in my dad's eyes, and I'm like, Dad, that's when you know I forgive you. And his response was, oh, I forgive you too. I forgive you too. Yeah. And of course, immediately there was this rage that just rose up in my heart, and then I remember what he said to me in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, you got me. All right. You know me pretty well. All right. And we just continued the conversation from there. And, you know, having conversation with the Lord, you know, later, you know, asking him, I'm like, Lord, why'd you go and do that? And he's like, you'll understand as you, you know, continue. And so from there, pretty much our relationship developed where we actually were communicating, we're talking. And I remember a very specific time where at the very end of like a very, two years later probably, we meet in the parking lot, we have this conversation, and I feel like I'm actually like have a relationship with my dad for like the first time in my life. And he says, everything that I have is yours. And I love you, son. Like, and he gave me this hug, and I don't know if you ever received something that you didn't know you really wanted to have, but he gave me this hug that was like the dad hug, and I'm like, oh, this is what all those guys that are talking about their dads talk about. This is the feeling that I've been missing from him my whole life. But I don't think it would happen. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't gone and chose to show mercy and not react to the reaction. I think that was really the key. What the Lord showed me throughout, I don't know when exactly it happened. I'm not great with timelines or time, really. You guys that know me know that. But God showed me, he's like, Jason, look at my life. Look at what happened on the cross. As the son looking up at the father, it wasn't the father that went and said, you know, I forgive them. It was the son saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the relationship with the son and the father being that the son was the one who opened the door for mercy to occur, that judgment from the father who loved his son beyond all expression was able to go and hold his hand, to stay his hand, and to met out the punishment we deserved on his son because his son was willing to go and give himself up for it and able to go and stand in the gap for us in that place of mercy. So Yeah, that's pretty much everything I had tonight. I think I'll stay there. So I just want to go and close in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll close and go out for dinner. Father God, we thank you that you are one who has shown and knows mercy beyond expression and has shown it to us, Lord. We pray that we might be vessels of it going out in the world, Lord, that we would know the value of that which you have offered us is beyond anything we could repay, that you are not one who can be bought, that your desire is for mercy and not sacrifice. Lord, that the things that we do and the things that we have are loaned to us, are a gift to us. And we are grateful for those that we have difficulty forgiving, that we struggle with seeing the way you see us. Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see the way you do. Lord, that your heart would be beating louder than before and louder than our own natural desire, that you would lead us in mercy for others and, Lord, for ourselves. And we pray these things in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.